Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech, the white power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, enjoy the Spirit.
You always appear. This is the confidence that we have in you, that when we gather together, there will be an appearance. You have appeared to us again. You have shown your kindness to us again. You have bestowed upon us your mercies again. You have proved to us that we are your children again. You have proved to us that you are our Father. We thank you, Almighty God. We thank you, King, the Resurrected One. We thank you, the one who overcome death. We thank you, the one who gives life abundant. We thank you, the one that all things are possible with him. We thank you because you are the only one that we ever hope, your shield, our buckler. The Lord is our salvation. The Lord is our help. The Lord is our hope. In whom we trust. In whom we have confidence. In whom we have life. Thank you for what you have done so far from the beginning of the month. Thank you for each petrol you have offered. We ask for grace again. Grace to journey. Grace to continue. We want you to speak to us the word of life, the word of eternity. The word that will bring resurrection into our body, into our soul, into our spirit, and into everything that is dead in us. Let the word resound in our heart again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. We give God praise. In Jesus Christ's name we are praying. In Jesus Christ's name we are praying. Praise the name of the Lord. Our time is fast spent. This is just 25 minutes to 12. Praise God. I want to thank God for this privilege to stand and be a blessing to the saint of God. I don't like to take it for granted. It is not good for us to take things like this for granted. It's a privilege. Pastor, we appreciate you. God, we bless this ministry in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm really amazed that things are falling in line. Things are being synchronized. So it shows that the Holy Ghost is in our midst. And we are not going to take him for granted. This morning, I want to briefly talk about life that overcome. Praise God. Life that overcome. And I'll be taking my talk from the book of John in chapter 6. And I read from verse 45. Is it 45? Okay. Let me read from verse 45. Okay. Praise God. It is written in the prophet. And it's a thought of... Let me take from verse 47 because of time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eat my flesh and drink, Jesus continued, and drink my blood, hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eat my flesh and drink my blood dwell in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eat me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forevermore. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's an interesting reading. Praise God. It's so interesting that when the Lord Jesus Christ made this declaration, the Jews were very, very angry. They were so angry. They were so disturbed. Some of them call him lunatic. This man is lunatic. How can we eat your bread? How can we eat your flesh? How can we eat your blood? How can we drink your blood? Praise God. But in this condiment that the Lord Jesus Christ has offered to them, his life, it's a condiment, it's a menu. It is a menu. But they rejected that menu. They don't want to take of that menu. The menu was offered unto men, unto them, but they refused the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. We discovered that one of the things that men fear most, the most dreadful things that make man to panic is death. Death. Praise God. There's none among us that is not afraid of death. Each time I think of the time that a time is coming when they will lie me down like this, I prepare my house. Praise God. Because it has been said over and again that death is the end of man. But I have something that is new. Something that is different. It's not new. Something that is different to that this morning. And I trust that within these few minutes, 25-30 minutes that I want to stand here, the Holy Spirit will help me to convey my thought so that that fear will be defeated and deflated in the heart of each and every one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Permit me to tell you that the end of man is not dead. The end of man is not dead. The end of man is not dead. The end of Christ is law. Okay? The end of Christ. Jesus Christ is the end of the law. And it was the law that brought death. Praise God. It was the law that brought death. As a matter of fact, what law does is to bring sin. So when sin was conveyed in the heart of a man, death came in. So we can see that law, sin, and death are interrelated. Hallelujah. Three of them are interrelated. But we discover that the end of Christ is what? Is law. Law is the end of Christ. So if the end of Christ is law, and the man has come to a place where he can overcome death. Praise God. Man can overcome death. And I pray that everyone that is being tormented by the spirit of death, you will overcome death. Amen. You are overcoming death. Amen. You are overcoming death. Amen. You are overcoming death. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Apostle John is a commentator of life. He's also, and when he talks about life, he's not talking about life in a life of existence. There is a life that surpasses existing. Praise God. There's a life that surpasses existing. If you exist without this life, you are dead. Praise God. There's a life that transcends flesh and blood. The life that man has come to understand is the life of flesh and blood. And so they take a lot of time to prepare for life, for the life of flesh and blood. At the negligence of the real life that transcends existence. So each time Paul is talking about life, he was not talking about any life of flesh and blood, but he was talking about Christ, the life. Praise God. The book of John chapter 1 verse 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was what? The Word was with God. And the Word was what? Was God. Praise God. Now, in other words,
We discover that this life has ever existed before the life of man.
Hallelujah.
This life has ever existed. Now, first and foremost, before the existence of death. Death was an alien. Death was not part of the creation. Amen. Death was an alien. Death was a stranger. Death was as new as man was also new on the surface of the earth. But we discover that there is another man who has life that has existed right from the beginning, coexistence with God, and his name is Christ. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And in the book of Genesis chapter 1, we saw him when he said, come, let us make man. Of course, God was not talking to angels. Man has never come into existence at that particular point in time. So he must have been talking to the Son. Come, let us, me and you, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. Praise God. So we saw, this is exactly what Apostle Paul was driving at, that there is a man that has lived even before death. There is a man that has ever existed even before death come into sin. And he began to discuss about this man. Now, he engaged certain essential ingredients of life to drive home his point. Certain things that man cannot do without. He began to use this thing to paint this man called Christ so that we will know that we have overcome death. Praise God. We have overcome death. I know by the grace of God, Pastor may take this topic up later, because it's a well that we really need to discuss extensively. We really need to talk and dwell on it, so that those who all their life are afraid of death, we know that they have overcome death. Praise God. So I'm going to gloss on it. By the grace of God, I know that a well will be opened and time will be devoted to talk about this thing, because I know it is important. It is very, very critical for us to know that this thing we have overcome. Praise the Lord. Now, the first thing that he talked about, that he engaged, the first image that he engaged to depict Christ, that is the essential person, the essential need, the most significant need, the most important person in your life. You may not have money. You may not have children. You may not have a house to dwell in. You may not have father. You may not have mother. You may not have anything at all. You may not have clothes to put on. You may not have shoe. But you must have this person. You must have this person. All of these things that I have mentioned about are important, but they are not as important as this being. Praise God. I'm not saying all those things are not important, but they are less important in comparison with this being. Praise God. And so, the first thing that he engaged is what a man cannot do without: light. He engaged the image of light. He likened Christ as light. Now, somebody can tell me that a blind man lives, but light transcends the issue of sight. Light is not limited to your eyes alone. There is a light of the flesh. There is a light of the heart. If you have the light of the flesh and you don't have the light of the heart, you are dead. You are irrelevant. Your existence does not bring value to anyone. Because it is in this light of the heart that you become certain things that you have ever become in life. Now listen, every man, whether saved or unsaved, has this light of the heart. Every man, you have the light of the heart. And that is, it is the light of the heart. It's not because you are saved that made you to come to school. It is the light of the heart, the panting to become something, the desire, the urge to amount to something that brought you into school. It's the light of the heart. You just look at it as, no, I can't be like this. That's the light of the heart. Praise God. So you can begin to see how important the light is. So he engaged the image of life. He said, in him is what? His light. It is in this Christ that we find light. It is not your sight. It is not your eyes. It is the understanding that the Christ that you have about him that is called light. Praise God. It is the understanding that you have about him who is life that is called life. Now listen, that life will upgrade your thinking and your standing and your position in such that you can confront and overcome situations and circumstances. Hello, church. When this light is in you, you have the propensity, you have the capacity, you have the grace to overcome because it is the light. That light upgrades you about the present situation and circumstances. Amen. So when he was talking about life, he's talking about in him is understanding. In him is the grace to live. In him is the capacity to overcome. You can only overcome when you have life. He said in him is life. And the life, where is it? I thought you are going to follow me with that scriptures, with my preaching. I want you to follow me, please. I don't have time. John 1, is it 4? John 1, 4. Can you give us? In him was life. And the life was what? Was the light of men. In other words, it is life. And that life is the light of men. Without that life, you had no light. So you are blind. You are lame. You are not in existence. You don't know what is going on around you. In him is life. And the life was the light of men. So anyone that does not have, that's why, that's what makes people to think that Christians are proud. We are not. We only have an understanding of who we are. Praise God. We only have an understanding of who we are. Because we know that we have a light that is a light of life. And without this light of life, there is no life. Now, there's another image that even in this day, he said in him was who? Was life. And there was a certain man who thought that his life is about existence. Flesh and blood. That's not life. And he said, the Bible talked about a certain man whose land yielded abundantly. The land yielded so fruitfully. And he yielded so fruitfully. And he said, I will speak to my soul. Let's look at that scripture in the book of Luke chapter 12, I think. Luke 12, verse 16. Let's quickly look at it. Okay. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, my Father in heaven.
is a fool. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be what? Be merry. Verse 20. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou shalt be required of thee. And whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? God, you know this scripture was carefully put. He said, thou fool, thou shalt be required of your life. In the first instance, he doesn't have life. Because he thought his life is contained in... That's why the Bible said that the life of a man is not contained in the abundance of what he possesses. It's not what you possess. It's not what you have. That's not your life. Your life is hid in Christ. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. If you have all this city and there is no Christ in you, you are hopeless. You are the most miserable of all men. You are the most, a great failure. I don't know other name that I call. You are failed. You have missed it all. You have missed it all. This man is an example. He thought he can live without it. He thought that having possession, having property is what makes life. Praise God. And many of you, when you see somebody riding big car, you say, come and see life. If that person has a car without Christ, what you are seeing is dead. What you are seeing in that man is dead. The most important thing that you must have in life, if you don't have anything, please have him. I've made up my mind. I may not have house, I may not have car, I may not have anything, but this one that I have, this one thing can give me all things. This one thing can give me all things. This one thing can give me all things. I have walked barefooted before, but it is this one thing that has given me shoe. I have put on the same dress for several years, but it is this one thing that has clothed me. I've lived in a rented apartment for many years. I've been driven out of house that I live as a tenant, even when I was not owing. But it is this one thing that gave me accommodation. I've lived without hope when I was expecting death, and I think that all I desire at that particular point in time is death. But I remember that I have one thing, and that one thing is Christ. Life came back. Life came back. You may not have anything. If you don't have anything, it does not matter. People may mock you. People may laugh at you. People may call you a mad person. This one thing, let it not slip away from you. No one have this one thing that he will not have others. Have you forgotten what the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6? I think verse 33 or so, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Every other thing, the righteousness is Christ. Christ is that righteousness. In him is the fulfillment of all law. In him is the fulfillment. In him we have righteousness. In him we have grace. In him we have life that speaks. Listen, let nobody defy Christ that is in you. Let no situation and circumstances defy Christ in you. Listen, each day the enemy desires to defy the Lord in our lives. Do you know why? Because the only thing that can bring instant death, when the Bible says that the day you eat of this fruit, that day you will surely die. Do they surely die? Yes, physically they were not. But spiritually, yes, they were. They were truly dead. They were walking ghosts in the garden. Those things that they have mastered before became master over them. Adam can no longer move close to snake again. Snake will bite him. He can no longer move with python again. Python will swallow him up.
He became an enemy to tigers and to lions. Don't say that he used to ride on. He used to walk upon the water. He can no longer walk upon the water. If he dare put his feet upon the water, he will sink in the water. Because he lost one thing. The enemy will try each day to defy Christ in you. Because they want to kill you. Because they want to destroy you. The Bible says that the enemy cometh not, but to steal. The first thing is that he steal Christ. When he steal Christ from your heart and you don't seek for him, he kill your soul. Of course, he can't kill Christ. Do you understand? And once he notice that, this one, he completely destroy it and you become backslidden. Praise God. This is the work, this is what the enemy does in the life of a believer. And it's little enticement, little allurement, little compromise. Once you allow that to take place in your life, the next thing is death. It's not physical death this time around. But once Christ is taken away, the next thing, you are exposed to all manners of danger. Praise the name of the Lord. So he also engaged water. Have you seen anybody without water? How many of you, if you are not fasting, you drank water this morning? Can I see your hand? Oh, yes. I've taken a bottle of water while sitting down there. I told you, therapy for headache for me, or for FIFA, for anything is water. Once I feel it, I say, give me a bottle of water. And once I drink it, it disappears. Praise God. It shows how important water is in the life of a man or a woman. You can't live without water. How many of you have used water this morning? When you are coming, you take your bath. Even if you don't take your bath, you wash your face. If you don't wash your face, you brush your teeth. Praise God. Anyhow, sir, you have used water this morning. Now, all of this thing that John engaged, is to tell us how important this person called Christ is unto us. Kushemani. This is the only person that they call Kushemani. If you name your child Kushemani, Irolupa, the only thing he Kushemani is Christ. And that is why when I look a rich man, when I look a man that is prospering, he in court, has word, riding car, you envy. I don't know, maybe I'm not used to poverty. Do you understand? Don't say that it's because I'm not poor. For your understanding, I'm not a poor man. You can't rate me among the poor person by the statistic of Nigeria. Praise God. Sir? By Buhari statistics, not to talk of. So don't say that it's because you are poor. That no, but there is one thing that is more important to me. There is one thing that is more significant to me, and I have faith. I woke up this morning. I was telling my wife. I said, "Come and see." I saw a very massive. I was telling her the dream I had. I just laughed. I said, "I can't go to that place." He said, "No, don't say that." I said, "No, God forbid me. What am I going to do in that place?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe I can have a ministry camp there in future. I can just build a camp." But it's true. I saw it. I saw somebody, an old man, taking me through land. Massive land. This is hope that Christ paints in you. And that hope, I was telling them in the class, I said, the men of faith, they all lived without having those things. And yet, the Bible reckons with them as men of faith who was not worthy of this world. I may not have it. It may be for my son. It may be for my children. It may be for somebody else. But the issue is that Christ is more important than water to me. And you must make it a priority. If you cannot do without water, then you can't do without Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. I will round up very, 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 very soon. Because I promised Pastor that I won't spend up to 40 minutes. Yes. Amen. Listen to this. Jesus is the living message of the Father. Jesus is the living message of the Father. He spoke about two things in this book of John chapter 6 in verse 45 or 55. He talked about flesh and what? And blood. That without, if you don't partake of the two, you can never live. He talked about flesh and blood. The flesh talked about the Old Testament. Praise God. The flesh speaks about what? Old Testament. The blood talk about what? The New Testament. In other words, when you eat meat without water, or you eat food without water, you have an indigestion. It's impossible for you to eat without drink. You may not eat, drink immediately. Like some of us, when we eat, we don't drink immediately. But at the end of the day, you will drink water. Praise God. Now, the old and the new are what we require for us to have the all of Christ. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ was telling them. Except you don't stay with flesh alone. He told them that it is this same flesh that your father has. They died. The flesh cannot sustain them in the wilderness. You need an addition of blood with it before you can be sustained. Flesh cannot sustain us alone. And we cannot say that only blood is what we will drink without flesh. No. We need the combination of the two, the flesh and the blood, before we can become a complete person and before we can have a complete life in Christ Jesus Christ. Our life cannot be formed without flesh and without the blood. Our life cannot be formed without the Old Testament and without the New Testament. We need the two, the combination of the old and with the new, before our life can be formed. That is why the Bible says that Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of the law. He is the law that Moses was talking about that they must obey. He is the prophecy in which all the prophecies spoke about him that was made manifest in the New Testament. You need the concept of these two before you can be formed in him. In other words, when you have the two, you will overcome. When you have the two, you will overcome. Am I saying you won't have talents? You will. Surely you will. Surely you will. The Bible said that for you will have tribulation. But behold, I have overcome. For greater is he that is in you than they that are in the world. Is he in you? It's not the person of Christ that is in you. It is the word of God that is in you that makes you to overcome. Praise God. If the word of God is not in you, what are you going to use as weapon? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. You have nothing to fight the enemy. You have nothing you can use to contend with the wicked one. It is the word of God. So when I see a believer who plays with the word of God, who does not take the word of God seriously, who consider the word of God as unimportant, I see a believer who is walking through the path of failure. I see a believer who is walking towards the path of defeat. The word of God is as important as your chemistry, whatever you call it, whether 201 or 203. Do you understand? It's more important. It's as a matter, I'm not saying you should not read it, but it's as important. Listen, that one, chemistry 201 or 203, 202, we fail, but there is one thing that will not fail. Have you been in exam hall when everything that you have read escaped your brain? You just, but I know this thing, but who can escape? Who can escape? Oh, Satan is trying you. But when you bring the word of God, that shall be the head, but not the tail. and you begin to quote scripture that is relevant to that situation, they will download things on your head. That is why you need the word. Please, don't joke with the word of God. Don't play with the word of God. This is the life that overcomes. With this word, you can overcome. That's the reason why I don't have fear for these jihadists. I don't have fear for them. I know that we have overcome them. I know we have overrun them. If they cannot overcome Nigeria in the 18th century, is it now that they will overcome? When there was no Babalola and Co. on the scene, they cannot even overcome. Is it now when we have the likes of all of us here? Let me not even mention the big names. The likes of all of us, that they will overcome us. This is the confidence that we have. And this is the confidence that you must have, that you have overcome. Father, we thank you. Your word is true. Your word is yea. Your word is amen. Is anyone among these people, among every one of us, who is going through issues? We ask by the blood of Jesus Christ, we overcome stronghold. By the word of the living God, we overcome stronghold. By the word of Jehovah, we overcome stronghold. Is there anyone that they have said that there is no way for you? I declare as the saint of God that the Lord is going to make way for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anything you consider impossible? I speak possibility to that impossibility. I ask the Lord God to rise for you. The King of Righteousness will rise for you. He will take up the battle. He will fight for you. He will fight for you. You will have rest from your labor. You will have rest from your labor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatsoever is stolen from you, I receive it back for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every stolen item I restored in the name of the Lord. It could be your marriage. I don't know what it is. It could be your marriage. It could be your son. It could be your daughter. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the enemy has taken away. This thing is so precious unto you. And the enemy thinks that he can take it away. By the name of the living God. By the name of the God of glory. By the name of the resurrected Christ. Let there be restoration in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we are praying.
Shall we just pray for our daddy? The Father, we bless your holy name for those words that have come out. We ask that
we believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesans every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.